shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
The following pre-recorded Kingdom Concepts program was originally broadcast February 6, 2011. We are replaying it tonight in memory of Pastor John Millar, who passed away on February 28th of 2019. It includes portions of broadcasts made for us by his father, the late Pastor Robert G. Millar, founder of Elohim City in Oklahoma. I've always appreciated the fact that this ministry teaches not only the kingdom identity message, but many other biblical truths in bringing forth a fuller understanding of God's Word. As part of tonight's program, I've asked Isaac Millar, son of John Millar, to make a few remarks about his father in Elohim City. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Mike, for having me tonight. I appreciate you doing this in honor of my father, John Millar. We here at Elohim City have been mourning the loss of my father, John James Millar. He was our pastor at our church and the head figure in our village that we have here. He had also been given another title, the title of Roi, which is a Hebrew name to be translated, my shepherd. That's also something here at Elohim City that we hold dear, to be given a chance to define a name which is unordinary by the way you live your life, so that people might remember you by the way you live your life instead of the name you were given. And so Roi means much more to us than just my shepherd. One of the ways in which my father, John Millar, defined the name Roi was to give his life in the kingdom of God on earth. He wanted to see the image of God in God's people as we are created in His image. And he wanted to lead the people which he saw Christ in to find that same Christ as their reality in their life. And that will always be cherished for my father, John Millar, our Roi. We here live in the glory of God, though. This might seem like it's a hardship to us to lose our leader, John Millar, but we know that God has yet another glory for us to move on into at Elohim City. And we always look, and we always have looked, to Jesus the Christ for our leadership here at Elohim City. So, with my father, John Millar, body passing away, we have not lost our leader because Christ did not die. But we will look to David Millar, my uncle, his brother, for that impetus and the moving forward here at Elohim City. David has been a part of the leadership in our community, in our village, since he was a young man in his early 20s. It is a great time for us to be living here in this day, and there is a lot for us to look forward to do, even though it looks like something has come to an end in our lives. We know that God has much more for us. And we know that we want to move on in the knowledge and the knowing that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And not in another, but we look to Jesus Christ for that in our lives. And I want to again thank Mike Hallamore for putting this on air in honor of my father's legacy on the earth today. And this voice recording that I listened to before I got on air with Mike today was a long time ago, but there's still truths in it today that you can hear. Thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you, Isaac, and we'll start that broadcast now from 8 years ago. Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. Tonight we have a special broadcast on Elohim City. You've probably heard about them in the news over the years. Many accusations have been made against this village, everything from the bombing of the Oklahoma City Muir building to you name it. And we're going to have first tonight a segment of about 18 minutes that answered many of those questions by the late Pastor Robert G. Millar, some broadcasts he did for us, various portions of those broadcasts. And then we'll be bringing on Pastor John Millar, son of Pastor Millar, Robert Millar, to answer your questions and comment on many of the charges that have been made against them. If you would like to participate in the program, toll-free number is 877-924-7722. That's 877-924-7722, and we'll open up the talk lines in about roughly 20 minutes. So without further ado, let's hear from Robert G. Millar, the founder and the late director of Elohim City.
Good morning to you. We're speaking from the besieged Elohim City here in the midst of the Ozark Mountains in eastern Oklahoma, United States of America. We said the besieged Elohim City. You may ask the question, are you surrounded by armed gunmen, trained assassins? No, that's happened to us before several times. We're trained gunmen, trained by the money from the United States taxpayer, came with their guns and their airplane to try to demolish us. But you're besieged too. If you're part of that chosen seed, if you're part of that people selected out of a people for his purpose, insinuations, accusations, smear jobs by the news media, well, how about all these coincidences? Aren't you linked somehow? Are you guilty of the Oklahoma City bombing? Did you have something? All these questions were continually being asked by the great news media networks of this nation. But when the decision was made by a sitting judge and he pronounced that Elohim City had no connection with it, that there was no need to permit any of that into the trial evidence, not one of the major networks announced that. So what are you saying? I'm saying we're besieged. Whether we have armed gunmen out here with their little tin badges, whether it's being perpetrated through news magazines, there's a siege going on against those who are the elect of God, who are the called according to his purpose, and we can identify the source of those things. In talking to the producers of the Dateline presentation, they told us that they intended to say those that monitor right-wing patriotic groups say that. Then he began his quote. I said, who are those that monitor? Well, he sort of stumbled. I said, are you talking about Morris D? Are you talking about the School of Southern Poverty? Are you talking about the ADL? Who are you talking about? Well, he said, I think it's the ADL. Let me see. And he went through some of his papers. No, he said, it's the Jewish Committee. When you say those that monitor, you're implying that there's a great vast number of Americans that are keeping check on patriots. what they call extremist groups. I said, name the baby. This group, maybe 2.5% of the population of America, a small segment of that group, they're the ones that bring in smear campaign, their ideas. Name the baby. The fact of the matter is there's a small, nefarious hate group that intrude their opinions, their divisive comments, their smear campaigns, and do not want themselves identified. Pretend they're part of a larger segment of the nation and are continually attacking those of you who are called according to his purpose. One of the reasons that I'm speaking like this today is I want to identify them. I want to expose the ones that are talking evilly against the elect of God. There's something going on right now in connection with Elohim City, particularly in connection with Oklahoma City, and the prosecutor there, who is searching for a conspiracy in connection with the Oklahoma City bombing. I think his man's name is Macy, and I am in favor of what he's doing. He's trying to get to the bottom of this whole thing that's happened. Wonders if more were involved than Timothy McVeigh. I wouldn't be surprised. Some have suggested that the whole thing, the whole episode, began as a sting operation by a government agency, and then it went awry. If that's true, I doubt if he'll ever get to the bottom of it. Carol Howe, I'm told, was charged with something that took place in her apartment. I think it had something to do with drugs. And she had an accomplice, and she was the principal, and due to plea bargaining, Carol Howe was exonerated, at least relieved of any sentence, any jail time, and her accomplice, that's her assistant, had to spend 1.5 years in jail. Now, that's an unjust balance. You can't determine that any other way. We've been warned by several people that we're probably going to be subpoenaed again. I don't know if that's true or not. I know that ADL people and Morris D. use their influence to try to pervert justice systematically and misrepresent anyone that is on the side of Christian identity. Andy Strassmeier, as most of you probably know, is a German national who came to this country and stayed here at Elohim City for about 2.5 years. I have a bit of a problem talking about this subject because I really don't know the answers. One of my problems is, I suppose, is I've never met any man or woman that I didn't see something good in them. I guess I'm just built that way. I like to see the good in people. I'm not so naive that I don't realize that there are other things as well. I guess all of us are mixtures. We have our mixture of godliness and selfishness, greed and altruism, I suppose, mixture of motives, often unaware of them. And so our attitude is to look for that good in every man, and whatever good we see, to try to extrapolate, expand on that thing that is worthwhile, and trust that those things that aren't worthwhile will gradually be overwhelmed by the positive characteristics. Andy Strassmeier is an enigma to us. He's supposed to, and I believe does come, from a very fine, important family in Germany. He told us that after he was here a little while. We sort of thought that from a family of that political importance, social importance over centuries, that they would have instilled good manners, sense of appreciation and gratefulness, which we weren't particularly aware of in Andy when he was here, made us wonder, when we look back, one of the things that has sort of made us reevaluate all our thoughts about Andy Strassmeier is when the government used your tax money to send in a little blonde, blue-eyed girl by the name of Carol Howe. And we were warned when she first came that she might be an informer for the ATF, and we didn't really care too much whether she was or wasn't, because let her look around, let her see what she can see, and let her make her report. I thought that would be a good thing. But I never dreamed that the government would use your tax money to pay somebody that they had, one way or another, gotten under their control, to pay that person to try to get some of our people to do something wrong and something illegal. And that's really what Carol Howe did. She got two of our young men to go to her Tulsa apartment, and she had the ATF, at your expense, taxpayers, had set up hidden cameras. And first she had them paint empty hand grenades, which is not illegal, and then she tried to persuade them to fill them with powder and make them dangerous, which is illegal. And fortunately, the two young men didn't succumb to her blandishments and refused to do that, which immediately would have made them guilty of an illegal act. Now, I'm increasingly aware that a government, instead of using finances to try to get people to do what's right and upright, there are some parts of law enforcement that will actually pay money to infiltrate perhaps well-meaning groups and try to persuade those well-meaning groups to become more extreme. And you can hardly believe that in the case of Andy Strassmeyer, they would support a man for 2.5 years trying to get us to lead us in a wrong direction. But our experience with Carol Howe and the results of her trial in Tulsa, what became exposed, caused us to reevaluate everything. So the question is, why was Andy Strassmeyer here? He was with the intelligence unit of the German army. He told us that when he was here. Their anti-terrorist group, whether he's being paid to foment these kind of difficulties, or whether he was just a seeking soul, or whether he was a combination of both, our answer is inconclusive. We do know that today he's in Ireland, and he's somehow made contact, apparently, with what they call freedom fighters over there. I call them troublemakers. My suggestion to the freedom fighters that are sincere, they'd be very careful in how they get involved with him. And yet our heart reaches out to the good that is in every man. And we think that to the extent that he did participate at Andy Strassmeyer in our services, in our worship, in our love, that to that extent, there's something good there that we can appeal to and still want to appeal to. An attorney working for Channel 9 in Oklahoma City plans to come out and wants to ask me questions about Carol Howe. Well, Carol Howe got up and said things before a judge and said other things to newspapers and everything else. And they'll always ask me, well, how do you feel toward her? Do you feel animosity? Well, it's true. She's lied about Elohim City, lied about other things. So, fact, incontrovertible, lied about me. But I bear her no ill will. I don't even bear ill will toward the agents that took your tax money, dear friend listening in, and gave this tax money to Carol, hundreds of dollars, used some of your tax money to put hidden cameras in her apartment, and then after they paid her to come down to Elohim City and snoop. But I object to a system where people taking the tax money of honest, hard-working citizens use that money to disorient and pervert a young lady. Of course, she'd been on drugs and she was unstable, and these ATF members took advantage of that, destabilized her, got her involved in dishonorable activities, and paid her to try to coax some of our people to do something illegal, which they didn't do. Paid her for that. I think that that is something that is unconscionable. And I believe that the real issue is that there's no accountability. I was down to appear before a grand jury, and the grand jury in Oklahoma City was trying to get to the bottom of who was really involved in the Oklahoma City bombing. And I think some of them were wondering, is this a government sting operation gone awry, or surely this wasn't just the work of one man? And why didn't the ATF or the FBI investigate things that they didn't investigate? So I was there not as a hostile witness. I was glad to cooperate. These men in the grand jury and women were wonderful people. They were taking their time, showing an interest, trying to do a job for the sake of society. I was given great latitude, and they wanted to know what I believed. Legally, I'm not permitted to tell you what questions they asked me, but you can figure it out. I said, yes, sir, I do believe it's the right to bear arms. You don't want to equivocate on issues like this. Yes, I do believe it's necessary to bear arms. And well, what if they come at you in uniform? Well, if they head for my door, like they did at Waco, shooting as they come and without a warrant, yes, same as the sheriff of that county in Texas proclaimed, an American has every right to return fire if they come to his dwelling shooting as they come without having first approached and presented a warrant. So I was able to make a number of statements like that. I was quite delighted with the opportunity and thought it was a great time to register. They also asked me about the background of our beliefs, and I was able to tell them about the migration of my forefathers, your forefathers, from ancient Israel across Europe into Northern Europe and Great Britain, and that there are antecedents today here in America. These are the people that founded America and made it great. So it was a great day.
When the grand jury was finished, in open court, Judge Burkett wrote this 14-page summary. You people probably know how it is when, after the lawyers have had their say and witnesses have had their say, then a judge stands up and gives his summation. Well, this is the summation. It says, the allegations about people having connection with Elohim City, we have been unable to find any connection between white supremacists connected with the bombing and Elohim City. It is our understanding the FBI has also been unable to find such a link. So here are these people, spend $525,000. It's $525,434.54. And they spent all that money, I suppose, to exonerate. They thought they were exonerating the ATF and the FBI. Well, we're serving the one that rules the universe. So maybe all this, over $500,000, was being spent to exonerate Elohim City. But anyway, they give us a clear bill of health concerning the Oklahoma City bombing. It's interesting to note that of this $500,000, when I went to testify for about 5.5 hours before the grand jury, I got paid for my trip. I think it was $42 or 36 cents. I had to travel 400 miles from our place to Oklahoma City and back, and my meals. But I find these attorneys that were involved in the case received hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, anyway, we're glad that they reported that Elohim City and the people there are not involved in any of these terrorist activities. We're glad for that finding. I think what is important is, why was Elohim City under severe investigation, under surveillance? Our telephone calls were strictly monitored, and it was illegal at that time. We've had a change in law since the Oklahoma City bombing, but it was illegal to monitor our telephone calls prior to that law that was passed after the bombing. But we were being monitored, and we can prove it. We had fixed-wing surveillance in the air. We had a helicopter on Easter Sunday, a few days before the bombing, just about set early in the morning on top of our meeting place in Elohim City. Now, who pulled strings? What was being stirred up? Why were we under such close surveillance before the bombing, in connection with terrorist acts, we suppose, if nobody knew anything about it? I think sometimes we look to the wrong place. We want to know if the CIA or the ATF and the FBI people, well, they're doing their jobs and they're doing what people higher up are telling them to do. They don't always know why. But who's pulling the string? Was it the ADL? Was it the Jewish Council? Or was it the Mossad? These are the people that oppose those of us who talk about the identity of his believers. That the foundation of this nation is really built upon people from the House of Israel who came over here and built this great country. And it's your people that support Zionists that strongly oppose us. So we wonder who instigated this surveillance and attempted to have such a smear campaign against us in newspapers and magazines. We'd like to get to the source of this and find out who they are. But we have this to say, that in spite of all the things that are happening in America, there's one who reigns in the heaven. He shall reign whose right it is, and his kingdom shall be established in the earth.
You've just heard various segments from broadcasts that the late Pastor Robert G. Millar made for us concerning the charges made against Elohim City by various media, the news media. He is the founder and former director of Elohim City. I'd now like to welcome to the broadcast his son, John Millar, who is the current president of Elohim City and will answer some of the charges that were made against them. Welcome to the broadcast, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be with you tonight.
Well, we're glad to have you. Before you answer some of the questions, the charges, the accusations that have been made against Elohim City, why don't you give us a little bit of background about the founding of the village there and some of the setup, the way that the village operates.
Okay, well, we came here in the fall of 1973, in the early couple months, January, February of 74, and we're out here in eastern Oklahoma, close to the Arkansas line, and we came out here because we felt the, what I would say, an unction of the, from we felt the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to dedicate ourselves to what he was telling us that we should do in our everyday lives. And we wanted more than just go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. We wanted to experience the fulfillment of giving our lives totally every day, 24 hours a day, to what we felt was his purposes. We did not come out to escape. Some people think we did, but we came out because we felt that's what we wanted to do for our vocation, to give our lives unto his purposes, as we felt, and with the freedom way out here in the middle of nowhere to start maybe a new society of how we felt the scriptures and the leading of the Spirit was telling us to do. So that's sort of what we were coming out here for. But I was born in 1951, and so I, and my dad was a minister before I was born, Robert Millar. But I don't ever remember when he started preaching what we call the identity or the Israel message, that we are the people of ancient Israel today. I don't remember when he started. I always had heard him preach that. So that was part of what we already understood when we came out here. And so that was just part of our, the people that came here, our corporate understanding. And then as time progressed into these things that my dad was talking about, that came to the forefront. But these are things that, truths that we've held dear for, I guess, a half a century now.
I know that I've seen your dad many times over the years at meetings in Decatur and elsewhere, and he was very dedicated to the message and preached sermons at the various meetings, and certainly wasn't what I would call a troublemaker or anything like that. How did things progress from, I guess, where you were coming out from among them and being ye separate, as the scripture says, to a place where you became the enemy of left-wing America, the Jewish conspiracy?
Well, what happened that sort of pushed us, one of the things that sort of pushed us into that limelight of that is that, I don't know if some of your listeners will remember, but they had a siege in a place called CSA up in right in the Missouri-Arkansas line in the 80s, maybe 82, 83, somewhere in that area. I'm not sure on the exact date. And we had met them two or three times, several times, not a whole lot, but knew of them. And they surrounded that place up there. And the FBI called my dad to negotiate with their leader there, Jim Allison. And Jim Allison said he would allow him to negotiate with him. And they flew my dad up there and another minister from here. And they had walked between the lines of the federal government agents with their guns and the people in the, I guess the CSA, I guess that's what they called it. And when it was over and they walked out, they had lied to my father, and the news people were there, and they had said something to this effect, that it's a sad day in America when the federal officials lie to me, a minister of the gospel, and I'm taking messages back and forth, and when they come out, you do opposite things. And that sort of started putting the limelight on us as if we were anti-government. We've never been anti-government. We think that the government should be responsive to the people and should be accountable for what they do. And that's what we were pointing out, that they were not being that way. And that sort of got us on the wrong side of government officials. And, of course, then the media started looking into what we believe, and that there is a people, and it's not the people over there in Palestine, but it's, you know, the Scandinavian, Anglo-Saxon peoples, European peoples that are the direct descendants from ancient Israel. And, of course, the people over in Palestine are very much against that thought.
I think it's the government that's against true Christianity. I know that you have your own school system. I believe your wife heads the school system there. You have both the grammar and high school levels. And I know that the Israel message is taught to the children from a very young age on up.
Yes, they know that who we are. You know, it's important to know. We think we should know. One of the things we teach in our school, and we have K through 12, we have about 40 students, I think, this year. They all live right here. They're all our children from people that live here. You know, you need to know your place in history. You need to know your place with the Heavenly Father and your place in society today. And those are the things that we teach. You know, of course, we teach the three R's. That people need to know who they are and if we want to have any direction on where we're going. And so those are things that we teach in our school. That we are the descendants of ancient Israel. At various levels, they know different things. You know, of course, the wee ones don't know too much, but we have meeting every day in our little chapel that we have here. And for the last 25 years, we have someone, one of the young people, they face the east, and then someone facing the north, the south, and the east, and the west, all four directions, with the tribes that in their marching order with a little vest on them with those tribes. And we mention and we pray for the elect of the Father in every direction, and that His will would be done in them, and that He would cause them to do what His purpose is for them in this hour.
I've been to Elohim City, and I think that it's a fine Christian atmosphere there. And as I said, I've seen your father over the years at various meetings, and I've seen you and the others at some special meetings like those you held in Springdale and so on. The impression, I think, of any honest observer would be this is a community of Christians who are faithful to their beliefs. I'd like to ask now how you got all these accusations against you, not only by the news media, the left-wing news media, but a lot of these kosher conservative so-called patriots, just some ridiculous things. I know that the John Birch Society has written articles against you. Alex Jones is currently and has for some time been charging that you're run by Morris Dees or run by the Southern Poverty Law Center anyway, which is just, to me, totally ridiculous. And I'd like you to answer some of the accusations against you. But before you do, let me give our listeners the toll-free number where you can call in and participate and ask Pastor Millar any questions that you may have. Our toll-free number is 877-924-7722. That's 877-924-7722. 7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. Do you want to answer some of those accusations that have been made against you?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure exactly. You know, I told you that with Dad's involvement in trying to be a blessing and help people from getting hurt up there at CSA, and then, of course, the Randy Weaver terrible situation up there in the Northwest, and then Waco. And, you know, we were able to speak out and saying that we did not think this is the right actions of the U.S. government should be doing these things, and it's the terrible things that happened down there. And then that sort of put us in the spotlight, and we, you know, we are a community. We're not a commune. Everybody's responsible for their own needs and things. We don't have what we call a common pocket. Every family and head of the house is responsible for all their needs. We try to help one another, though. But they started focusing on us because I guess we were a little bit outspoken that the government should be responsible for what they do. And when they shot Randy Weaver's wife and his boy, that there should be, you know, accountability. And that took many years for that. And you know how that came about much years later with the lawyer Spencer there, and her Spence. And then with the Waco and the terrible loss of the life there and the fiery furnace that they went through there, that sort of put us in the limelight. And then after that, there was the Oklahoma City bombing. And then we had accusation after accusation that we were somehow involved in that, or someone that had maybe come through here or something like that was involved in that. And of course, we were totally against anybody acting like that. And as in the intro here with my father speaking, those accusations have been, if anybody really wants to look at them, have been put to rest. They investigated that. They were up here looking at everything the best they could. And I thought anybody that they found guilty of doing that, they ought to get a hold of them, put them away. They, of course, none of us were involved in that. But people get this idea, if they get something in their head that somebody's guilty of that, or especially if they've lost someone in the, they maybe they're emotionally can't get over it, and they refuse to look at the fact. The idea, though, that were controlled by the Jews and the left-wing Morris D's and their ilk, I don't know where they come up with that kind of things. I it's hard to imagine how they would consider that at all when they list us as groups.
Well, I think there's accusations going around the so-called patriot community that are planted there by Asian provocateurs just to cause trouble among, you know, true believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's some people who have been at Elohim City that are not necessarily the best people in the world that have been put up, but I think that your father had an attitude, as he mentioned in the excerpts at the beginning of the broadcast, where he pretty much saw good in anybody and always gave them an opportunity to show themselves in a good light. And he might have been a little bit more open to certain people than I would have been, but that doesn't make him some kind of an enemy agent.
Well, of course. Now, and that's how we really believe. We're way out here, 6 miles up a dirt road, and somebody has to sort of look to find us. And we came out here looking to give ourselves to our Heavenly Father in a deeper way. And so when someone comes up here, they might have been involved in who knows what in their former life, but we try to find that thing of Christ that is in every man and try to nurture that. And so there's no doubt we've had some unsavory people come by, but that's part of the Church of Christ, to help everyone. You know, we really believe that.
Would you like to answer any specific charges that have been made against you? I mean, I guess you just answered the ridiculous one made by Alex Jones, but perhaps, well, I see we're getting a caller now on line 6. Maybe he has a question that you'd like to answer that he's heard. line six on the air?
Yes, this is for the Kingdom Comset show, right?
Yes, I didn't see your name on the board, so welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, my name is Alan E. Batson. I'm calling from Philadelphia. I just want to say first that I'm really fond of the work that Kingdom Identity Ministry does with the American Institute of Theology and all the Bible studies. I've been getting books in there for quite a long time, but I had heard the Mr. Millard's son talking about, you know, Elohim City.
Yeah.
And there was different people that I had heard that talked about, you know, different things about, you know, this, that. And I was just talking to a good Christian brother of mine, and I was telling him that if people are making accusations or saying things about Elohim City, they should go there themselves and check the place out and look into it for themselves and see exactly, you know, what it is they do without making a assumption ahead of time about what they think something is. Which is
true.
A lot
that's
of people have a habit
approach.
Doing. Huh?
I said that's true. That's the biblical approach. Pastor Millar, would you like
yes.
to comment on that?
Yeah. Well, most people that have been here, there are some exceptions. If they stay here, you know, and attend some of our meetings, they seem to appreciate what we're about. But, you know, what we're about isn't necessarily for everyone, the total dedication in our lives. But
right.
You know, that's what we want to give is our total dedication. But we do believe that there is a people chosen in God from the time of Abraham, and that people is still on the earth today, and that's who he worked his will in. And, that's our fundamental belief on that. But I don't know, you'll have to be specific about any accusations, and I'll be as specific as I can to answer anything like that. But we invite people to come.
I had heard people like, you know, you have these different radio talk shows, and, you know, they say, you know, it's like stuff that really I don't even really like to pay attention to because all it is a soap opera, and I can't stand that, and there's so much of that in the movement. I'm reading a book now, and the guy who had written the book said he was interviewing a lot of different people throughout the movement for this book, and he said where he thought there would be a lot of racial solidarity, there seems to be more racial dissension, more like people backbiting, people talking bad about this and talking bad about that. And I would have to say that's probably one of the reasons why the enemy starts the trouble that he does and wants to infiltrate and turn us against each other. That's what the devil does. And we, as Christian Israel folk, as I am of Irish and Lombard descent, I say, you know what? Don't talk about your brethren, no matter what. Take it to God, talk to God about it, and if you can, confront your brother. As it says, confront your brother or one. If one doesn't work, then you take another brother with you, and if that doesn't work, you take him in front of the congregation. Amen?
That's
yes,
right.
That's the way we try to operate.
Amen.
I
had heard a lot of great...
I appreciate your comments, and I might mention right here that a number of years ago, I came out with what I call an accusation form for lawful justice. We're talking tonight about charges made against Elohim City, but as our caller mentioned, it's been a problem within our circles over the years. And this form, it has the name of the accused, the charges of sin, when the transgression took place, where the transgression took place, the victim of the crime, witnesses and verifiable evidence to the transgression, violation of which law, chapter and verse, penalty for
yes.
violating this law, chapter and verse, interest of the party making the complaint. It says, have you discussed the accusation with the person in question according to Matthew 18:15 in order to determine the facts of the matter? And what actions do you require in order to grant forgiveness, mercy, and restoration to the person in question? And then the name of the person bringing the charges. Now, if those principles were followed, we wouldn't have near as many accusations because the points couldn't be answered. If anybody would like a free copy of this form, they just need to contact us, either write to the ministry, Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021. You can go to our website, www.kingidentity.com, KingIdentity.com, and go down where it ask for an information packet and just put a note in there with the information packet and we'll send out an accusation form for lawful justice too. So
now what is it called now? An accusation form?
Yeah, I call it an accusation form for lawful justice is what I call it. It's just a simple form. I can either email it to you or I can send it through the mail, a hard copy, you know, on paper. So it's just a little freebie, and if people would use it out there, there'd be a lot less of this accusation, not only against LAM City, but all the instances. And it would also expose some of those agent provocateurs who are making these false charges.
Yeah,
amen.
That would be a wonderful thing. And, you know, that's what...
If I wanted to get the address for LAM City, how would I be able to get it to write to these guys?
I can give it to you right now.
Could you please?
Yeah, or do you want a Route 3, Box 293?
What is it? Route what?
3.
Route 20?
Route 3.
Route 3?
Box 293.
Box 293, yeah.
Muldrow, M-U-L-D-R-O-W.
Can you say that again, please?
Muldrow, M-U-L-D-R-O-W.
D-R-O-W, Muldrow, yeah.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah.
74948. And just put LAM City in 74948.
Excellent. I'm definitely going to write to you guys and correspond with you. I remember, do you remember the newspaper, the Jubilee?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the first time that I had heard about you guys back in, like, 94, 95.
Okay.
That was a really good Christian Israel newspaper. I remember hearing about you guys, and then,
to advertise in there. Yeah, this ministry was started in 1982, and it's become the successor ministries for older ministries, Pastor Bertrand Compres and Dr. Swift and the American Institute of Theology, but we used to advertise in the early 90s in the Jubilee.
Excellent.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate your call, and I appreciate your kind comments concerning the ministry.
Yes, sir, and God bless you and your compound. Yahweh bless, and I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was a nice call, and we'd invite other callers to call and ask any question you'd like, and we'll try to answer it concerning the accusations or anything else. And our number is 877-924-7722. That's toll-free number, 877-924-7722, 877-YAHS-RACE. I see we have another caller on line one, Jake from Alabama. Welcome to the broadcast, Jake. Or from Alaska, is it?
It is. My mind's going blank here. What should people look out for if they want to join, like, a covenant community? And what problems can they anticipate with the government if people join one of these communities for Israelites?
Well, hello?
Yes.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Well, I don't know about other places, but for us, you know, we like to find out if somebody feels that this is the vocation they have in their life that God's called them to. Now, we're very careful that as far as we know we're not doing anything unlawful, but you are scrutinized, and there are people that come up with all kinds of charges and accusations, and because we are a little bit different than the regular churches out there. But I think, you know, you need to, I don't know about how other groups do, but you just sort of come out and find your way and join come to our meetings that we have every day, which is part of, it's our school chapel of our meetings. And we use our children in that quite a bit, and see if you have a like-mindedness to what we feel that our calling is in the Father. Does that answer any of your questions?
Yes. You think that your type of lifestyle would be helpful for more people to get involved with then?
Well, we love it.
Would you? We recommend it for other people.
I don't know if if everybody's supposed to live out here. I'm not trying. We don't try to get everybody to live out here, but we like to, those that want to give their whole lives to the kingdom of God on earth, put it in shoe leather is one of the things we say, that we'll find a way to take the things in the scripture and the things he's put in our hearts to try to manifest it in some earthly way in our natural life. And so that takes a lot of dedication, you know.
I might mention, I don't have any experience with a community like you do, but concerning local congregations, a little leaveneth the whole lump. And it's best that you do distinguish between the difference between a true believer and somebody who is just repeating the words or their heart's not in it, because a person like that can cause a lot of trouble because they're not looking at things through spiritual eyes.
All right, thanks.
Go ahead.
Goodbye. No, that's all. Goodbye.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate Jake's call. And we'd invite others to join us tonight, 877-924-7722. Toll free, 877-924-7722. I believe all of our people, to the extent that they're able, should come out from among them and be separate, and certainly try to get together with other believers. Also, there are certain leaders that are not ethical. Of course, we know of a lot of them that are not doctrinally sound, but there's some that are fairly doctrinally sound and they're not ethical in their behavior. So I would advise people to avoid those types, and then those forming communities to avoid troublemakers who are there for the wrong motives.
Yes, that's good advice. We, we like to be around people that believe and understand what we're about. We're at the best semi-cloister. We're not really cloister at all, totally cloister, but we out here on this dirt road, but different people have different businesses and they run into town, some of them every day, some have to go in once a week, and I'm fortunate I don't have to go in very often. And so the involvement on how much someone stays out here and attending every meeting varies from family to family because of their own domestic situation and their own their work and things like that, you know.
Right. And I'm sure you've seen some people that put on a patriot front that are, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes, and we probably fail by trying to have too much grace, but we feel like was spoken earlier that there's good in every Israelite and there's something of God in them. And so even though they might be in a sort of a rough place in their attitude, we try to help them if they're willing to be helped. And, but some people you can't please no matter what, you know, they're just full of, nobody can be right enough for them. They almost become more righteous than God, you know. And so we like, in order to live close to someone, you need to have a lot of grace for them because no one's perfect. And so we try to have, but we try to live by the high standards that we feel the Father's given us. But we do at the same time realize no one's perfect.
Yeah, I'd say especially the news media. I know that in your case, in my case, both, that they misrepresent themselves quite often.
They want to say what they really want to do is a character demonization of any leader that's doing something good for the Lord, you know, for our Heavenly Father, who I call Yahuwah. But they want to demonize you. And then in the eyes of the public and character.
Yeah, they act so nice when they're talking to you and doing the interview, and then they just come out and they just totally make you seem different when it's presented on the airwaves. We have another caller on line 2, Brian from Mississippi. Welcome to the broadcast, Brian.
Yeah, I just want to appreciate, you know, all the work you've been doing with Kingdom Identity Ministries and everything. And I've followed Little Ham City for a pretty good while, too. And I know that y'all have done a lot of good work with the, I guess, separating from the Tower of Babel, you could say, of the U.S. And I think the way the economy has been going down more and more with each year, I think more and more people is going to look at separating and kind of living the way the Amish do, the Mennonite, and others. And I think that places like Edelham City may be popping up all around the country.
Yeah, I hope so. I think we'll find the need for that. But I want to caution you, we didn't come out here to escape. We did come out to separate and be separate because that's the word of the Heavenly Father to us. But we're not self-sufficient. I wish we were a lot more, but we are a little bit that way. But we are relying on Him because we're part of that seed of Abraham, who Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker and sustainer, Scripture says, is the Most High, Yahuwah. So we're looking for that. But I, after we've been here for 37 years now, and after we came out, we start seeing the fringe benefits of not having so much involvement, total involvement with what we call this present society. And, you know, it takes a long time for us to go to get to McDonald's, you know, and things like that. So that's all those things have been fringe benefits that, oh, they're just wonderful in our dedication to walk with Him.
I'd like to thank Brian for calling. We're down to the last minute. Would you like to quickly give the address of Elohim City for those who'd like to contact you directly? And our address will be given at the end of the broadcast.
The address here at Elohim City is Route 3, Box 293, Muldrow. That's Muldrow, Oklahoma, 74948. And if anyone, just write me a card and we'll try to get back to you.
I'd like to thank you, Pastor John Millar, for being our guest tonight, and we appreciate your comments and setting the record straight. And I'd like to thank Brian and all the rest of our callers for calling in, and may Yahweh bless all of our listeners tonight.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.